going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, good evening and welcome back to WGR's coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft on WGR. It's presented by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, and brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Northtown Automotive Group. Northtown Automotive, official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by the Quilted Squirrel, great websites, more leads, real growth for your business. Learn more at tqsmarketing.com. Good evening and welcome back. Day two of the NFL Draft, my personal favorite day of the 3 days in the NFL Draft. It's a lot of guys you'll know and recognize, people that fell from the first round and are getting opportunities now on day two in the second and third round. I feel, guys, as we enter into tonight, Nate Geary, of course, Derek Kramer, and Zach Jones alongside. We have internationally known Joe Cali behind the board right now.
Wait, is that Radio's Joe Cali?
Radio's Joe Cali. We'll also have TJ Luckman here, as is tradition as well, on draft weekend. Obligatory, we should start the show and spend probably the first hour-ish talking about Shedeur Sanders, since that's what everybody else does.
Did you guys know
32 people at the world's most renowned job fair got jobs yesterday, and instead of talking about any of them, the national media, ESPN, it was like Cam Ward's getting picked. It's like, let's show Shedeur Sanders in his bedroom or in his living room. Oh, wait, he's not there. Let's just keep the camera on the empty couch.
Keep it there.
It was, listen.
An hour's too late.
I just checked my watch, and the hour's up. All right.
Critique coverage all you want. This has been one of the more annoying.
Bad at covering sports. What a surprise.
It's just been one of the more annoying, narratives. I mean, again, yesterday, 32 guys are drafted across the league, and the entire conversation is, where's Shedeur Sanders going? So we are not going to do that here tonight. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on Shedeur Sanders. Luckily, the Bills don't need a quarterback. Several teams drafting coming up here shortly do need quarterbacks. But overall, guys, you've had a chance to sleep on it. What are your thoughts of Max Harrison, the Bills' newest first-round pick this year? They did not trade back. They did not trade forward. There was some news earlier today about potentially Tyleek Williams, who was taken two picks before them in Detroit, the defensive tackle out of Ohio State, that he was told if he was there at 30, the Bills would have taken him at 30. We'll never know. He didn't make it there. But overall, guys, they get corner. They get the fastest player in the draft, high ceiling, and, some warts. It's not a perfect prospect, but rarely at 30 are you getting a perfect prospect. So, Zach, what do you got for us in terms of, you had an opportunity to sleep on it, heard the morning and the afternoon show talk about it, the national media, when you could slip in conversations around Shedeur Sanders. What are your overall thoughts?
I liked the pick when it happened. It was not who I necessarily thought was going to be there. That was purely just who had fallen. There seemed to be better, quote-unquote, better prospects. I love the upside, though, with Harrison. I think it allows you to number one, you still have Benford there. He's your number one corner. But the idea is if Hairston hits, yes, these are your cornerbacks for the next 5 years, but you have a legitimate playmaker on your defense. You got him at 30. Is he a crappy tackler? Sure. You can kind of figure that out. He's instinctual. He's a rocket ship in the defense. I'm for it. And ultimately, the way the ball was falling with D-tackle, I kind of would have been frustrated if they did try to force that pick. So they take what? The second true corner off the board? I'm not going to complain about that.
Not only that, Zach, to further extend on this, I think that considering how the board fell,
mm-hmm.
the Bills still seem to have had conviction that this was the guy that they really wanted all along. Yeah, Tyreek Williams saying what he said about the Bills. Xavier Worthy was told the same thing last year, and literally he was being stared at pick 30, and Kansas City came calling.
And they were like, nah.
And they were like, eh, actually.
We're good.
We're good. Go ahead and take him.
I don't know, my microphone's off. We've got officially the round two underway. Cleveland is on the clock, 6 minutes and 40 seconds. I'm going to read you quickly a draft profile and kind of get your guys' take on this. This is listed under weaknesses. Finesse corner with relatively slender frame, physicality, and play strength a concern from slot. Big-bodied slot targets will post him up in space and drive him off the line in the run game. Tackles when necessary, but doesn't seek out contact. Less technique-oriented, more grabby. Finished career with just 6 interceptions despite extensive playing time. Early anchor from coverage caused struggles opening hips with receivers, blah, blah, blah. Who do you think this draft profile is?
Do you want to say Kyer Elam?
It's Trey White.
It's Trey White, yeah.
Kind of eerily similar.
There are only 3 pick difference between the two.
Actually, that sounds like someone who just really didn't like Trey White.
If I didn't, well, yeah. there's,
holy mackerel.
There's only 4 sentences of weaknesses. There's a bunch of strengths. So
I
this
know,
is,
but still, those sentences
feels
sounded,
aggressive. It
sounded
feels
very
aggressive.
You know, and on top of that, so I guess where I'm going with this is, you know, they are, to me, outside of the ceiling that Hairston has mm-hmm. with the unbelievable explosiveness and athleticism and ability to recover, basically the same weaknesses as Trey White, right? Like not a super physical player, and it worked great early on in Trey White's career before the injury.
Right away. I mean, he was able to hit the ground running as a rookie, start for them, and eventually becomes an all-pro pretty early on. Not saying that's going to be the same, you know, destination
career
for,
arc,
for Hairston, and you hope it's not, especially with all the injuries. But now them bringing Trey back and then picking Hairston does sort of make you feel like, yeah, okay, this is maybe their plan all along, or at least one of their hopes all along. And that makes me feel a little bit better about it, especially the kid seems to have an infectious personality. Same thing was true of Trey White. You'd almost be surprised if they don't get along at this point with just hearing years of Trey White talking, then Hairston now speaking yesterday and then today. I'm excited for the player. I will say, typically, I don't love going corner at the end of round one. I do think there's more value in the second, third round that you can still be fine. What gets me there for Hairston is the speed. It is the fact that he was the fastest player at the combine this year. They didn't have a lot of team speed. Now there is an addition there. And I think they still could add to it today with the likes of Jalen Royals out of Utah State. They brought him on a visit. He could be there late in the second round, depending on how the board falls. So we could be leaving this draft as well with a lot more speed on this Bills team, which I think many of us have been clamoring for 4 or 5 years.
And just to further your point, though, about the corner and how the value really works that way, a lot of this big board of what's available immediately in round two is backing up the ideal that you could have had your corner in the second round anyway. But again, this screams the Bills wanted this player. They got this player. They were not going to pass it up, which is something that you in particular have talked to me a lot about on the Extra Point Show, which is make the pick, have conviction on your guy, and make the selection. Don't try to play it safe.
Yeah, don't hit me with, we had 4 or 5 guys on our board, so we moved back. No, take the one you like the most. You have 10 picks, so I'm glad they did it.
Yeah, you know, I am too. Listen, he was a player I liked a lot. Again, a lot of it was because of the speed. You know, I mentioned he's kind of amongst this group of longer guys. I know he's only 5'11 and some change, but he's got the long wingspan, arm reach. And that was one of my main concerns for Jahdae Barron was I just didn't think he had. Yeah. He had one of the shorter arms and wingspans in the draft class. So, you know, for me, I was looking for someone with some long arms, the ability to play. This is and I think the thing that I like about, you know, Hairston is this isn't a projection for them. They're not trying to put a guy that is a, you know, real a man corner into zone. This is a guy that is going to be able to play some man coverage, but has got his, you know, like he's got his marks in the SEC playing zone. And I do think that that matters in the grand scheme of things because the Bills are a zone team, even though they'll want to run more man coverage. I think he gives them the ability to do both, which is have a guy that they can teach technique to. It's going to be trail. Yeah. This is not a, and I think this is an important aspect of the physicality weakness that you have with Hairston. Here we go.
In the 2025 NFL draft, your Cleveland Browns select Carson Schwessinger, linebacker, UCLA.
All right, so we're kicked off tonight by another defensive player, this time Carson Schwessinger, the linebacker from UCLA, a guy that late in the draft process was actually getting kind of talked about as a potential for the Bills at 30. Luckily, we didn't have to go through the Bills taking a linebacker at number 30, but I think everyone's consensus number two linebacker in this draft. A lot of people talked about his willingness, downhill running, run defending ability, but some weaknesses in the pass game, which I think in the NFL, you almost have to be a pass defender first.
You have to.
The Browns continuing to make a side of the ball that, frankly, is not a weakness, a bigger strength. They get Mason Graham yesterday after trading back with Jacksonville. Now they add another linebacker who, to me, is a little bit of the same ilk as I should remember his name. He went to Notre Dame. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah.
There you go.
He's their starting. He's their starting linebacker. So they've got two sort of undersized linebackers, but very athletic. So it seems like the Browns, who again pick in a couple of picks here, are really stacking the table on the defensive side of the ball.
I don't hate it either because you do have that second first next year. It might be an overload on defense, have that unit ready to go so that when they eventually take a quarterback next year, they aren't putting that QB in a bad spot. The offense may not be completely fully formed, what have you. I mean, their offensive line is pretty good. It's not
terrible. Is the coach and GM going to be there? They're not going to be good. They're not going to make the playoffs.
Andrew Berry, maybe not. I think Stefanski, yes. I've come around on Stefanski. I don't think he's great. I think he's done enough.
I think Stefanski has done enough, yeah.
Okay, so the Texans are on the clock here.
Luke Burden. It's got to be. I don't really know what's there in terms of offensive line.
They need offensive line. Out of Minnesota.
Yeah, Ursary, Minnesota, okay. Tackle. That's about it. The Texans have put themselves in quite a jackpot, if you ask me. And listen, I mean, it's still a good football team. Year three, they get rid of Bobby Slowick, which was certainly a surprise for me, especially with how successful C.J. Stroud was in year one. I mean, a very clear and apparent step back in year two big, you know, expectations going to year three, completely remaking the offensive line. The problem is, in order to remake the offensive line, you have to have contingency plans in place. They got rid of their two best offensive linemen performing. Right, and they have yet to have – there wasn't a free agent, and, they ended up trading back after, I think Cornerly went right in front of them the pick before. So here we go. The Texans are on the clock, and the pick is in.
Son of Owen Daniels.
Owen Daniels making the pick.
Coming back to Wisconsin. Houston, it's our time now. With the 34th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Jaden Higgins.
Dang it.
Wide receiver, Iowa State.
So that to me is not necessarily an indictment, but certainly a tell that Tank Dell may not be playing this year, and there's questions about his future in the NFL.
And to be fair, you look back at that injury, I think most of us would walk away with the feeling of, oh no, what does this mean for the young man long term? I also look at this too, maybe more of an indictment on a prospect. How much does Luther Burden's lack of finesse route running, or really fine-tune route running, hamper his ability with some of these teams?
I think it's an interesting question. So, you know, I know with Higgins, by the way, tonight, probably within the next couple of picks, his teammate on the other side of him, Jalen Noel, will also go. Dane Brugler had Noel ahead of Higgins. I like Noel. I think he ran a 4.38 40-yard dash at the combine. Higgins, another outside guy, both outside perimeter, you know, the outside receivers. Noel could be a player.
We do have a trade coming in here.
Titans moving back up here. One spot.
Is it one spot?
Oh, no.
Seattle's jumping up. This could be Luther Burden.
This absolutely could be. I would actually be maybe surprised if it's not, because they really did a mass exodus of their wide receiver room.
Yes.
And it's literally JSN.
And Cooper Kupp.
And Cooper Kupp.
Oh, as we yesterday did the same thing.
So I can give you details of this.
Does it count?
I can give you details of the trade. The Seahawks trading pick 52 and 82 for pick 35. So they're moving up.
They spent a third rounder to do it.
I mean, they're moving up 17 spots.
Ooh, and the Titans needed an extra pick in the third. Like, they don't have many picks.
No, that's right.
Getting that pick in the third round is actually a big deal. That's something I was hankering on.
You've talked about it a lot.
For a long time, actually, throughout this offseason.
Before Ward was like the clear-cut guy, you were like, move back.
Yeah, the Titans should move back. And, well, hey, now they've got it.
You know what?
An extra pick there.
You know what this could be? This could be defensive tackle. Or it could be Mike Green. Defensive line is definitely a need for the Seahawks.
Offensive line still could also be one, too, if they want to try to get a player early.
What if it's for a quarterback?
That's a little awkward.
Why?
Gave Sam Darnold a bunch of money.
They gave him money, not a bunch of money.
It's still a bunch of money.
I think they could easily do what
it's workable.
Minnesota did.
It's workable money.
They could do exactly what Minnesota did.
I feel so bad for Darnold. Like 2 years in a row. But the difference was with Minnesota, it was a one-year deal for Darnold. Let's see what happens. It's a bit longer. 3 years, three-year deal for Darnold.
It's a three-year deal, yeah.
I think more what you should do right now, especially because it's not a good quarterback class. I mean, we're now at this point, it more Dart, and now it could be a little bit of a wait. I think you do. You can't give Darnold that kind of money, rip away all of his weapons outside of JSN and Cooper Kupp. I don't want to forget about that.
Don't step on the rake a third time.
And then go, figure it out, Sam.
That's why I think it could be offensive line.
They did offensive line in round one because they get Gray Zabel out of North Dakota
Seattle.
State.
You need more.
They could absolutely do it again because you're right. They've been trying to rebuild that line since Russell Wilson was considered a future Hall of Famer. I mean, they could go a lot of different ways here. But Nate, to your point, like them trading up 17 spots, it's got to be a guy that they just have to assume he's not going to be there even in five picks.
Yeah, I mean, moving up 17 spots is definitely.
It's where I defensive tackle Shamar Turner. I think he's probably not the pick.
I will say too, I do think there's going to be a ton of movement at this part of the draft.
I agree.
Because I think there are still guys, you know, and again, some team is going to be okay enough to take Will Johnson. I don't know where that happens. I would think it's going to be pretty soon. I would think the same thing with Isaraku from Boston College. Yep. I feel the same way. Someone's going to take Mike Green, or does he have an Isaiah Bond like drop? Because Bond was being talked about as maybe wide receiver 5, second round, then the legal issues come about.
Now
he has to
like
enter.
No,
he has to, right. I mean, now he's probably not going to get drafted at all. So, I mean, there are still guys on this board outside of, you know, quarterback. You know, Trey Amos still here. I don't necessarily see the Seahawks moving up for a corner, but they think they want a corner.
Go Emin Wari? Just get a lead guy back
elite
in your
talent,
defense.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to trade up, you'd want to trade up for traits.
So that's where Emin Wari maybe makes sense, is like he's the freakiest athlete on our board. Let's see what we can make of them. We've already got a lot of freaks on our defense, especially in their secondary. It kind of fits what they want to do.
So that's exactly what the Seahawks ended up doing. The Seahawks moved
it's
up for Nick Emin Wari, safety. And again, I just think if you're going to end up trading a third-round pick and you're going to kind of move up, you want to do it for a guy with, you know, with those kind of traits.
Yep, that makes sense.
So the commissioner is on the stage. It looks like someone's on the stage.
On the stage. The commissioner's not doing these
anymore.
That's
right. I forget. It's the second round. They don't do this anymore. All right. The pick is in, and we will go live to Green Bay.
Maybe.
It doesn't matter what pick you are. You'll be bulletboard material to another team and its fans. They'll do everything in their power.
Whatever this is.
Yeah. Wait for that.
You would
30
think that they would
go.
Just, you know, put the time where they normally have it instead of having the pick is in. But, you know, listen, who am I to judge the billion-dollar industry?
I feel like we all should be able to. That's goofy.
Is that not what we are here for?
Why is this the special one that gets a countdown? Oh, it's because it's rivalries.
Are we getting so? Oh, it's Richard Sherman.
Oh,
not my favorite guy.
Okay.
Richard
needed it at that moment.
Good Lord. Feel free.
The next rival has been chosen. The Tennessee Titans have traded the 35th pick to the Seattle Seahawks. With the 35th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Nick Amemwori, DB, South Carolina.
You know, I do like this pick a lot for the Seahawks because they do have some really nice pieces in their defensive backfield. Safety's not one of them. It's a defensive coach. Yeah, I mean, the Seahawks are – I don't know. It'll be interesting to see when you're looking at the Seahawks this year. Obviously, we were just talking about them bringing in Sam Darnold, losing DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, two real mainstays in this franchise on offense for the last couple of years. There's some talk they might be willing to move one of their running backs. That could potentially happen. Yeah. Maybe it's Kenneth Walker. Maybe it's Charbonnet. But all in all, you know, this is a team kind of in transition doing that the whole sort of – on-the-fly rebuild, right?
I get it, though. I mean, like the guys like Tariq Woolen now, Nick Amemwori, they've got freaks on that defense. And, you know, trying to just really quick, thinking about the quarterbacks in that division, Brock Purdy's going to get paid. Freaks on that defense are going to put him in bad spots. Kyler Murray, I always have loved the traits on him, up and down on him. You know, they put themselves in an interesting position to be able to kind of keep up with a lot of those teams.
Yeah.
Judkins.
Yeah, the Browns pick is now in, and it looks like they're going to go running back here.
So maybe this is the Nick Chubb replacement that we all were kind of thinking about maybe yesterday with Ashton Jeanty.
Maybe they could take number five overall.
Instead, they wait till the second or their second pick in the second round.
Which, thanks, Jacksonville? Question mark.
Yeah,
Yeah. That's what happened.
What do the Raiders do here?
Yeah, interesting. The Raiders, offensive line, they could definitely go up here and address. Yeah. There's not a ton of names, but there's some guards available. They, too, could add on the defensive side of the line, Trayvon Mooring, their previous first-round pick. He is no longer there. Safety is definitely an opportunity. Maybe Xavier Watts. We'll see where he kind of goes in this draft. They've also, you know what? I wonder if it's Luther Burden because they'd lose Davante Adams. They've got – they don't have a ton at the wide receiver position. Here's the Browns again. Draft,
your Cleveland Browns select
– Quinshon Judkins, running back, Ohio State.
So Judkins, the first running back taken today, I won't lie, I did kind of think he would be behind Henderson.
I agree.
I agree with this.
But he's a physical runner. I think it kind of fits the style that the Cleveland Browns are looking for. But overall, I am a little surprised he went ahead of his teammate.
A little bit. He had a ton of production at Ole Miss. I know there was big problems with Lane Kiffin, Jackson Dart, and Judkins of some Twitter bashing. But
With Lane Kiffin? No way.
Good running back. I think I like Henderson's traits more. If you're asking me which one of the Ohio State running backs I like, but it also was specifically for the Bills where this maybe more fits what Cleveland wants. Yeah, which is a bruiser running back in the AFC North. I get it. I think it's old school, but I get it.
Honestly, it helps replace a little bit of the style that Chubb has,
yeah.
Which is he has a nice little mix of that speed and power combo that made him so effective for Cleveland that you kind of want that back.
So two picks in the top four in the second round, neither quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Is Kenny Pickett going to start for them?
Yes.
Yep.
He'll be the 41st
starting. Joe Flacco's back.
There we go.
But so it could be Flacco. I would still presume it's Flacco.
I'm going to think it's Pickett, and they're going to have a 41st starting quarterback since their return to Cleveland.
I love that so much.
We've got Las Vegas now on the clock at 37. We'll play this pick live for you before we head to break. I also do wonder, so there's a couple of, I just mentioned, you know, the Seattle Seahawks potentially trading one of their running backs. And if they do that, maybe that's them knowing ahead of time they're trading a third. Maybe they could get a third back if they ultimately wanted to move one of their backs. I would think too that there hasn't really been a lot of conversation or heat around it, but I still continue to think there's no way Atlanta holds on to Kirk Cousins to the start of training camp.
No.
I know that it's sort of been a saga that has been dragged along a little bit here, but I would be surprised if we get to July and into the training camp and Kirk Cousins is still in Atlanta.
Of course he's still in Atlanta. Who's acquiring him in that
contract? The Browns.
And that contract.
Well, the contract's tradable.
Yeah, the contract's tradable. I think
not to the Browns.
Why? They've got plenty of room. Yeah, they're paying Watson a bunch, but if they're trying to be competitive.
Then don't eat the contract of Kirk Cousins.
We have trade. The Raiders are trading back. Dolphins have moved up.
I would guess this has got to be for a corner. If you're
so
the Miami
Will Johnson.
Dolphins.
If they pick something stupid today, I am losing my marbles.
Sort of wondering too with the Miami Dolphins. I know. Listen, it's hard to beef on the Ken Grant pick. I mean, everybody in this room really likes Ken Grant.
They were smart,
but I still don't know who is protecting Tua. They've Agreed. Gotten worse on the offensive line. They lose their best offensive lineman, and they have not replaced him. So is this the spot here at 37, the trade-up, where they try to address it? I just don't know. Unless they feel if they don't get Ursary from Minnesota, that they may not have a guy in range in the second round to take on the offensive line.
We do have the details for this trade. 37 and 143 to the Dolphins for 48, 98, and 135 to
the
Raiders.
They move up 11 spots.
Mm-hmm.
I would think this has to be... Wow.
Oh, Nate has a face like that's not a smart pick.
I want it to be for a running back so bad.
If it's a running back, I'm walking out of the studio and taking a laugh.
Oh, so gosh, bad. Yeah.
Because, again, you pick yesterday to be smart.
Well,
they're picking trenches.
I'm still mad about it.
Losing Kenneth Grant to Miami. One of the things I do wonder about Kenneth Grant, and I'm going to wonder it out loud, is if he doesn't get picked at 13, how far he potentially falls. But anyways, we've got... the Miami Dolphins on the clock. Is this Alec Ingold right here that's announcing the pick potentially for the Dolphins at 37?
All right, we got a trade. We got a trade here. The Las Vegas Raiders.
I was right. Alec
Ingold traded the 37th pick to the Miami Dolphins. With that being said, the 37th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The Miami Dolphins select Jonah Savianaya, offensive guard, Arizona.
Who's blocking for Tua?
Hey.
Who's blocking for Tua?
Over Tate Ratledge, who is the number three offensive guard here from Dane Brugler. Mm-hmm. Offensive guard, after taking tackle, they're building the inside of their trenches. Say what you will about the Dolphins. I don't know a lot about this guy. I didn't do a lot of work on guards, but I know he is listed as both a guard and tackle, so some versatility to add to the offensive line. I know they picked the kid from Houston last year, Paul. So they're adding to the line, which, you know,
his pass blocking stats look good. I mean, almost 470 snaps, I thought I saw, and zero sacks allowed. I mean, they might be looking for somebody that maybe doesn't have a high potential, but good floor for them.
Yeah, good floor.
But also someone who was playing on the left and right side.
Versatility across the line.
Versatility.
All right, let's take a timeout. On the other side, we've got New England and Chicago still to pick here on the board as our continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft Day 2 continues on here on WGR. Welcome back to WGR's continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft, day two in full swing. While we were on break, New England Patriots at pick 38 take the other Ohio State running back, Travion Henderson, I should say. And Zach, you mentioned you really liked this from a fantasy and from a dynasty perspective. I sold off my shares this year. I had two leagues where I had Ramondre Stevenson and I traded him. I don't want to say that I'm the smartest man alive, but you know,
you're not dumb.
Only you guys and God are the judge. But but yeah, I mean, high end.
He's got the playmaking ability for a team that is sort of desperate to find a guy who can be a playmaker. We mentioned it a lot yesterday where they sort of got burned a little bit with how free agency sort of went. I like the idea football-wise of him and Drake May. May is not the most gifted runner in the world. He is not Lamar. He is not Allen. He's not Jaden Daniels. He is a good runner, though. And you add Henderson in the backfield. I mean, they're showing pass-catching clips as well. I think he's going to be a lot of fun for fantasy owners. I really, really do. Just for the sheer fact of who else do they have to get the ball to? A 32-year-old Stephon Diggs coming off a torn ACL, a couple second-year receivers who never established themselves, and then they don't got Jacoby Myers anymore. I mean, like honestly, like who are you looking at this point for them? I kind of like this. I kind of like this for New England. I really do.
Yeah, it's one of those that it makes a little bit more sense. You get another weapon in for Drake May. You get another player that can try to help you out a little bit. Create a strong running back rotation so you don't have to rely on just one player. Also, it seems to be a running back, or not a running back, but like it is a New England tradition now for the last couple of years that there's a ill-fated lateral. So maybe,
let's go.
Maybe Henderson steps up to the plate next.
You know, one thing, too, I'll make note about the Patriots is they bring the defensive coach in. First two picks on offense. So, listen, it's an offense that needed a lot of help. That was one of the worst, if not the worst, offensive lines in football last year. They addressed that with Will Campbell at fourth overall. Now Travion Henderson at 38th in the second round. So definitely adding pieces on the offensive side of the ball. If you mentioned it. They really struck out this offseason trying to acquire that top-notch true number one wide receiver. They certainly didn't get it with Stephon Diggs. We were wondering, could this be where Luther Burden goes? But it just, for me, felt like they have three Luther Burdens on their roster already.
You just don't know where he's going to play. I am super interested in to see what Chicago wants to do here.
I am as well. I wonder if they want Travion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think they were desperate to get Ashton Jeanty. And while Henderson is not Jeanty, it's not a bad
consolation prize. He's probably running back three, considered by many.
And then you would have been like, okay, well, we got Loveland, and that's sort of been like a new thing that a lot of NFL teams are doing, which is, we drafted a tight end early 2 years ago. We're going to do it again. I mean, the Raiders did it with Mayer and then Bowers.
Well, whatever it is, the pick is in.
But, yeah, I could also see them sort of forcing a running back spot. You have the offensive coach. Yes, you gave him or do they maybe want to go Will Johnson?
A corner might be on the board here.
Corner could be
Will
on the
Johnson
board.
Will Johnson could finally, maybe this is where his fall stops. I can't believe that we're, in day two approaching the 40th pick and Will Johnson's still on the board.
It is unfortunate to look at, really.
I mean, they could go either way here, too, because New Orleans picks at 40.
Because what was
and
the
then
report?
Chicago's
the
back up
surgery?
At 41.
What's that?
It was the type of surgery that he ended up having.
That's right. It's a unique surgery that there's not a lot of examples out there in the NFL. I want to say I saw something that like two of the 15 NFL players that got the surgery never returned to play. So, I mean,
that's a bad percentage.
And there was talk about the injury and the graft that had to be done could last up to 10 years, which, I mean, if you're drafting a guy this early and you're worried about his not lasting 10 years, I mean, it's a bit two contracts. But at the end of the day, whatever it is, his college coach had an opportunity to draft him and didn't.
Passed him. I don't think we talked enough about that yesterday of actually should we be worried if he makes it past the Chargers? Should there be a realm where he actually ever makes it to the Bills, where the Bills would then feel comfortable taking him? Because I think that's ultimately how it played out, where the medicals probably just scared almost everybody off, at least for the first round.
All right, the pick is in. Let's go live to Green Bay, where this guy's definitely
Chicago,
getting booed.
Where you
at? Chicago's not in Green Bay.
I assume they're at home in Chicago.
One would think.
All right, all right. Simmer down.
Nice.
Okay,
with the 39th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the 2025 NFC North champions, Chicago Bears.
Oh.
Wide receiver, Missouri.
Wow.
Congratulations, young man.
Adding weapons. So now you have DJ Moore. You have, who did they draft last year? Washington.
Roma Dunze.
Roma Dunze, thank you. Luther Burden and Colson Loveland.
Ben Johnson is their coach.
Hey, Caleb Williams, time to figure out if you're the guy.
Yeah, if you're not the guy, we will know. We will know by
week 6.
We'll know
very quickly.
There's always that feeling, though, when this happens, and there's always a team or two every draft that does this where you're like, all right, we're going to know if this guy's good or not. And I would say this year it's probably been like Carolina and now Chicago, I think, absolutely. It also does kind of give me this like foreboding feeling, though. Like, yeah, by week 6, we will know if Caleb Williams has it or not. And it's his second year. It will be 6 games into his second year. But like, that's where we're at now with NFL quarterbacks. Like, you can't take the 2 to 3 years to develop. You kind of have to be good right away. And I even say that for with Bills fans, with Josh Allen, there at least was a significant step forward from years 1 to 2 for Josh Allen. And then, of course, we see the gigantic leap forward for year 3. But also, he was considered a raw prospect. Caleb Williams was considered close to
a finished product.
Finished product outside of he holds the ball too long and maybe he improvises too much.
So and, 2 pass catchers.
Yeah, 2 pass catchers.
Listen, I didn't love the Colson Loveland pick just because I think it was there were offensive linemen on the board, and I would have liked to see them take the offensive line. And I know that had been something that as soon as Ben Johnson got in, they trade for Joe Tooney. And,
it's a lot of trades.
But I look at this and I say, man, I like what it's hard to not like what the Bears do or have done really the last 2 off seasons because they've added playmakers and they have a very, I would say, I think a collection of talented pass catchers that is enviable.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Young.
Absolutely.
I mean, 3 of their top 5 pass catchers are on rookie contracts.
Yep.
This is, again, I'm pretty much sold on. Yeah, we're going to find out if Caleb Williams is actually the worst of the quarterback class.
I've also really just enjoyed watching Chicago in just a few years like radically change how they do things. Chicago, for all of our lifetimes, for most NFL fans' lifetimes, was an organization that really did scoff at offense a lot of the time.
Historically,
and they do. You've seen now the last 3 or 4 drafts. They have gone aggressive at either drafting a quarterback or a wide receiver or a tight end, and they're spending money and they're making trades at that position or in that position groups. It's got to work, though. I mean, they still do not have a 4,000-yard passer in their franchise's history.
Which is crazy to me.
It's got to happen this year. And to that point, Caleb Williams has got to prove he's the dude. They've done everything for you. They got the wizard offensive coordinator as your head coach now. It's time to figure it out. I'm not saying they got to win 13, 14 games this year.
But they got to look competent offensively.
I still don't think, though, that they have the offensive line they do in Detroit.
I agree.
And to me, that really made the thing right. And I like DeAndre Swift. They don't have that bell cow back there.
It's not
there
Montgomery
either.
And Gibbs. Right. You know, right. I'm with you. I like Swift. I think that was a big reason why they wanted Genty. But then to your point as well, they don't have the offensive line that the Lions' offensive line has been one of the best units, not just offensive line, units in football for the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, they've been allowed to do kind of whatever. Mm-hmm. Jared Goff can't move.
Yeah, and you know
what? They can figure it out.
And that'll also be interesting to me, the marriage of Ben Johnson
with Caleb
Williams, because he is not a guy that's going to stand still in the pocket from the dot and deliver balls across the field and be the kind of the point guard of that offense. So this is going to be a change in ideology for Ben Johnson. It's coming from a system and from an offense that he, of course, designed with lots of weapons, but the best offensive line in football and arguably the best running game with a diverse you know, group of weapons in the backfield. That's not what's going to be. So he's going to have to change a little bit of who he is and what offense he wants to run for Caleb Williams. But man, you look at this division. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. It's to me the most competitive division in football right now. And you know, the Chicago Bears are deciding we're going to try to win it with offense. And with that said, we now are at the 40th pick, 41st pick,
40th pick, and the Saints are ready.
Saints
to
are on the
it.
Clock, and the pick is in.
All right, with the 40th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the New Orleans Saints select Tyler Shuck, quarterback, Louisville.
Oh,
that's cheeks. That pick is booty cheeks. That is our first major miss of the entire draft.
Well, here's what I'll say.
I love that they just took the 40th pick, crumbled it up in a ball, and threw it out.
Someone has to play quarterback for them. They're going to get an opportunity. This doesn't necessarily change anything for them.
Spencer Rattler,
I don't think it changes anything.
I don't think it changes anything for them. And what it is, it's a lottery ticket. I don't hate it. Do I like the player? No, I don't love the player. But I think it's a lottery pick. He has experience. He's going to walk in. He'll probably be their day one starter. One would think you want to see him, and especially if he can have any
25?
Level of success.
Yeah.
If he can have any level of success in New Orleans this year, they win 5-6 games. You might consider him your quarterback of the future. So yeah, like listen, do we love the player? No, but I think at the end of the day, you know, they needed a quarterback. It's a lottery pick. It doesn't do anything to change them taking a quarterback potentially next year. But yeah, I mean, interesting that the Shedeur Sanders fall continues and another quarterback goes in front of them. Let's take a timeout on the other side. Chicago's back on the clock. So Chicago, man, they're going to add some premier talent in this draft tonight, and it starts now at the 41st pick with about 4 minutes left. Timeout here. We'll continue on our 2025 coverage of the NFL Draft Day 2 here on WGR. Well, we lied. We are going to come back from break because the Bills just traded up with the 41st pick. And I can tell you right now, the Bills traded 56, 62, and 109.
Wow.
For 41 and 72.
So they're in the third round.
So they're back in the third round. Wow. A big move, a big swing here for the Bills, moving way up in this draft right after the quarterback taking. Guys, any swings?
Ezeraku, yeah, I could. Ooh,
the cliff of edge rushers after him is kind of steep. Or it's Landon Jackson. It's either of those two.
I want it to be Ezeraku more. I don't hate Landon Jackson here. It is a big jump up.
It is a big jump up, but I do love the aggression here. I do hate that they don't have their early fourth rounder.
This is a big move up for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also
15 spots.
15 spots. You have to pay a price.
We were just
you
joking,
too. You moved down 62 to the third round.
But we were just joking. Like, Bean hasn't made this kind of move where it's, you know, what was it a few weeks ago? 17 jump spots up.
That's close, yeah.
Now he actually has made that move. I would think it is for a pass rusher. I would think
it's
it is for somebody like an Ezeraku who ACC Defensive Player of the Year, go after it, get it done.
I have an evil idea on this one.
So what do you got?
Evil notions are Xavier Watts. Or
I don't know if they would.
What if it was for a receiver?
Or for like
who,
probably
what,
like.
What receiver would you think? Higgins and Burden are off the board.
I would probably think that it's for probably for Royals.
If it's a receiver.
Yeah.
I would love if it was for Royals. I'm a big Royals guy. I also thought they maybe could get him later in the second round. So I wouldn't be against it. It'd be a great addition. I think it's for pass rusher.
What I like about
I
the
think
move,
you're right.
What I like about this trade up, obviously, you know, they had
I just wanted evil notions.
They had these two picks. Basically 62 is essentially a third rounder. I mean, it's right at the end of the second round. They get that third rounder. I think they get 72 in the deal. So the Bills end up with 72. They move back 10 spots and get to move up 15 and use one of their fourths?
Yeah, they use one of their fourths. It's the first one that they have, and it's early in the fourth round. So a little unfortunate. You don't get to try to get one of those day two fallers early into day three. But no, I like the aggression here. I like the idea. And I think that, Zach, I'm with you absolutely that it's got to be a pass rusher, and then wide receiver can be solved in the third round.
I would also maybe just before we don't know who the pick is here. A team that is picking 30th, a team that was in the AFC Championship game, is going to have two picks in the top 41 of this draft.
Yeah, that's big. That's big.
It's pretty rare to me.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
It's why I've also loved, though, how many picks they had in the top 65 at the time when they had the twos and you could kind of make it work. It's like, an AFC Championship, participant team could potentially have three new starters go right into the roster. This, though, you're moving up here. This has got to be a guy you think day one he changes how we play. I mean, and that's where I think it maybe isn't Alfred Collins at defensive tackle. It's got to be a guy like an Azaraku where you're like, that man was dominant. It was a bad ACC year. I get it. But was dominant at Boston College.
I'm really thinking they are linked to Landon Jackson a lot.
Could be Landon Jackson as well. It's the same position. I could understand that one.
So we're waiting. The pick is in, but we're still waiting on stage for the actual announcement of the pick. So the pick is in. The Bills, again, trading up from 56 to the 41st pick. And we are just waiting for the announcement of this before we take a timeout. Let's hope that they don't go to break here while we're waiting. Because
yeah, that'd be a little rude.
Be not great.
Oh, we're getting the zoom in to the stage. So maybe we are getting that.
And here we go. The pick is in, and there is a walk-up on the stage. Let's go to Green Bay.
Please welcome NFL legend and Wisconsin Badger alum, Lee Evans.
Yeah. Mafia, where you at? Where at? All right. We got a trade. The Chicago Bears have traded the 41st pick to the Buffalo Bills. And with the 41st pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the Buffalo Bills select T.J. Sanders, defensive tackle, South Carolina.
Oh, somebody's ready to dive off and break a table in honor of T.J. Sanders among those Buffalo fans, but they're going to like this guy. He can get quick interior pressure. Since the start of 2023, less than 2.5 seconds, he was able to get that pressure. He's got a lot of versatility, Des.
Yeah, man, he's very powerful, has heavy hands. He eats up blocks all the time. Great blend of power and pressure, accelerates through blocks. And I spoke to his coach, man, Coach Beamer. He said, this guy will tell you right now that he's still the best basketball player on their football team because he used to hoop, too. So it explains his good footwork and his athleticism, Coach.
Well, you know, you see it on the football field. The guy has great initial quickness. He got a really good change of direction, as you see right here, making the sack. He can go arm over, arm under. I like the guy because he can one gap. He's got the quickness to penetrate. But he also can two-gap and play with power, and he's a good push-the-pocket guy inside.
I thought he was at his best when he was single-gap penetrating coach. And by the way, up there in Buffalo, they're looking for these defensive tackles that can do exactly that. They're willing to compromise a little bit of size, and Sanders was just 297 pounds at the NFL Combine in February in exchange for the quickness up the field to be a vertical disruptor.
Field, they only had 8 sacks from the interior position last year. That was third fewest in the NFL, and T.J. Sanders is headed to Buffalo to try to rectify that issue. Jets are on the clock.
All right, well, there you have it. The Bills trade up to the 41st overall pick. They get South Carolina's T.J. Sanders, a guy I liked a lot. More of the three technique position, not the man-eating one tech, but a player that came in on a top 30 visit. Two SEC defenders being added into this Bills defense. So we'll get more reaction, including getting Sal Capaccio here live from One Bills Drive to get his reaction on the Bills' 41st pick, a trade, and then acquisition of the South Carolina defensive tackle. We've got a couple of breaks to combine and get to here. You're listening to extended coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft Day 2 on WGR.